Admiral Byrd.
God, I hate you.
Did you know that dolphins and whales can talk to the inner Earth civilizations?
What the f***?
Oh my God, is this how the episode's gonna go?
Fright Day. This is episode 52. I'm your host, Byron, and tonight we collectively have a pregnancy scare.
Uh-oh!
Reviewing Bruce McDonald's Hellions. And winter, unfortunately, has arrived, freezing the grounds below us, which is a great thing, because apparently there's an entire civilization down there.
Multiple.
Okay. And we're going to hear all about it in this week's edition of Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies. I am joined tonight by Kelly. And Sam, what the f*** are you doing? Eating food already?
Unwrapping it from foil into the microphone.
You could have done that earlier.
I just now decided I wanted some chocolate.
Hey, guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, it hasn't been very long since our last episode.
Mm-hmm.
I slept a lot.
That's good.
I apologize about my behavior last week.
You were kind of in rough shape.
I can't tell what I did.
I enjoyed it. Thoroughly.
I mean, you were great, but...
Well, I appreciate that. And I
should have tried to get you to sign things.
Oh, yeah.
Powers of attorney,
I would have
wills.
Done a lot of things for sleep last week.
Oh,
yeah.
I bet I could have gotten you to do so many fun cryptids and conspiracies things.
I have to say no.
You would have let me sing a song. I didn't even try to sing a song.
That's good. 95% God. Of the time, I say no to you.
Yeah, and I could have gotten some yeses, but I was too tired to take advantage of it myself.
That's all right.
Son of a bee.
It hasn't been many days, so I don't know if we've had much of a chance to watch anything. Did you get the chance?
Well, Sam did. I really haven't, but Sam did.
What did you watch? You were actually talking to me a little bit about this before the show. What did you waste your time watching? You can say.
I mean, I've watched the first episode of the second season of Empire.
Okay.
And I watched a few episodes of Revenge.
And how about the Christmas specials you watched?
Well, I watched Doug's Christmas special, and I watched the Gummy Bears, and I watched the Care Bears.
All right. Doug
and
is
Byron
not,
told
and
me that I can't be nostalgic for 90s Nickelodeon television anymore.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's because it was terrible.
There's a lot of horror to watch.
The Care Bears weren't on Nickelodeon.
The Care Bears are scary, I'll allow
it. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1!
Sam, what did you watch?
I actually rewatched a movie that I hadn't seen for a while, wanted to see how it would hold up.
Jason Goes to Hell?
Jason Goes to Hell, and it held up supremely.
Did you actually watch that?
No.
Okay.
I did not.
That's a horrible movie.
A movie called Outpost. Not The Outpost. Just Outpost.
I haven't seen either of those.
I really enjoy this movie, but I would not try to tell anyone that it is a good movie. It revolves around a team of mercenaries who are assembled by this wealthy businessman to take a trip into war-torn Eastern Europe to recover something.
Two militaries in a row.
Yeah, it kind of is.
A kick?
Yeah. It stars Ray Stevenson, who I have a huge man crush on.
Who's Ray Stevenson?
He is Titus Pullo in the HBO series Rome.
Okay.
He was the Russian mobster in the fifth season of Dexter?
Is this post-Trinity Killer? I think it was season 4. So yeah, I have no idea who this mob guy is, but you are in love with him?
He is very cool. I loved Rome. I'm not actually in love with him.
Sure, dude, whatever.
Okay, I am. And he also played the Punisher in Lexi Alexander's Punisher Warzone.
Yeah. What do you think about her?
I have no strong opinions one way or the other.
The weird thing is she has such strong opinions about film.
Yeah.
She believes that all movies should be given away for
piracy
free.
Piracy is a good thing.
Yeah. I don't know about that. Yeah, she's a wild card.
There's probably happy medium somewhere in there.
It's weird. What is the last movie she did?
I don't know.
Probably Punisher Warzone.
Oh, I have no idea.
But how is this movie on second viewing? Sorry,
we're
spiraling. So many holes.
It's all right. Just black holes everywhere. Yeah. They just open up and swallow us. The first time I watched it, it was during my wild younger days, and there's a good chance that I was really drunk when I
okay,
watched it.
Yeah, hoorahing about it.
Yeah, it was still fun. The idea is, like I said, there's this mercenary band that goes on a mission for this rich businessman. Turns out that they're going to this Nazi bunker, and spoiler alert, they find that the Nazis were performing all sorts of weird experiments involving teleportation and like all sorts of weird shit. They end up fighting off hordes of...
don't say Nazi zombies. Please
well,
don't.
I won't.
Really? So it looks like Lexi Alexander hasn't been doing very much following her Punisher Warzone movie. She did an episode of a TV show called Black Box TV, which I don't know anything about. She did an episode of Arrow, and she's doing an episode of Supergirl?
Yeah.
Interesting. Cool. Was that on Netflix that you watch Outpost?
Nope. I watched that on disc.
You had a disc of it. You felt the urge to pop it.
I obtained a disc of it, yes.
No! You went out of your way? Okay. No, physical media is not
dead. It presented itself. I took the opportunity.
You know, I took some opportunities to segue into what I was watching as well this week. Terrible sentence.
That's okay. I wasn't going to call you out.
I watched a movie called Visions, which is from Blumhouse Tilt.
I expect good things from that label.
So a year following a car accident that resulted in the death of a child, not this girl's child, but someone else's, she moves into a new house with her husband. They purchase a winery in an area that is not ideal for winemaking, but it makes it all the better when it does rain. There's some sort of weird history. And she starts seeing ghosts. Things start moving around. She's also pregnant at this point.
Ooh, Kelly. So,
this sounds familiar.
Really?
We watched the trailer for it not that
long
ago.
Keep talking.
As things get crazier, they start making excuses for why she's feeling like this, attributing it to the fact that she had this horrific incident happen, and also that she's like baby crazy, that she's not thinking straight because of...
the hormones.
The hormones, exactly. Pretty cool looking movie. And a fun cast. Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory is a doctor. You love him?
Love.
He's a fun guy. I don't like that show one bit.
I like the show a lot.
I'm with Kelly in this
You
one.
Like the show?
I like Big Bang
How did
Theory.
We make it 52 episodes without me knowing that you're a fan of The Big Bang Theory?
Because it's a horror podcast.
I gotta pack up my gear now and go.
Sorry, Byron. You're wrong, Byron.
I would say no. You don't go. You get out.
I'm a hop out. This is not okay with me. It's directed by a guy named Kevin
Shelton is delightful.
All right, let's move on. He's the director of Saw 6, Saw 3D, and Jezebel, which is a movie that I don't know if anyone saw.
I know what
no,
it is.
No, I saw it. It kept popping up on my list.
The dialogue is kind of weird. I didn't really feel like the characters were fully fleshed out. But, I mean, you look at the movies that this guy has done before, and that wasn't really an issue. And in the end, I don't think it was an issue with this movie. The beginning, obviously, any supernatural film, I'm not prone to like it. It's a bit too jumpy, but I don't want to spoil. It definitely turns into a Byron movie in the third act.
Mumbly?
Well, no, it's not mumbly, but it's Byron for another reason.
Oh.
Droopy boobs.
Blood.
No, come on now. That's enough.
Jesus.
It feels a bit like The Wicker Man meets Rosemary's Baby with a little bit of...
Serial killer.
Proxy mixed in. Quit. Come on now.
I'm guessing.
I said I wasn't going to spoil. It's fun. I like supporting this label. I think that it's a cool direction that the company's going, and I think you should check it out. I also saw a movie called Tiger House that I've been meaning to watch for a while. I think I actually signed it to you to write a review a long time ago.
Oh, way to go,
oh,
Sam.
Oh, this is the one where there's the kung fu girl.
Oh, right. That's a bit different. It's close. The tagline is 12 hours, 4 killers, 1 way out. An ex-gymnast named Kelly, whose career was cut short after her boyfriend accidentally shot her with a crossbow bolt.
Gymnastics is, that's kung fu.
How do you accidentally shoot somebody with a crossbow?
They were goofing around, and he's like, hey, shoot this, or whatever, and they tried to hand it to her, and she's like, no, and pushed it away, and he's like, oops, I tripped, and like shot her in the leg.
People get shot accidentally with crossbows all the time, in my experience.
She sneaks into her boyfriend's window for fun times, but she's not the only unwelcome visitor in this house. A group of killers break and take everyone hostage except her, because she hides under the bed. Now it's up to her.
No one will ever look there.
To escape and save whoever she can in the process. Kind of felt like Panic Room without a panic room, I guess. It's an interesting take on home invasion, but I feel like the gymnast element was kind of like an interesting concept on paper, but
a little cheesy.
It was kind of a crutch at the end. I guess no pun intended.
But because she hurt her leg. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it kind of drags out, and they use it as an excuse to do a couple things that I think are unnecessary. But it just came out on Netflix, so why don't you check it out and let me know what you thought. I'm talking to everyone. You, Kelly, the listeners.
Everyone ever.
But I think that's all I've watched in the 3 days since.
That's pretty impressive.
I've been trying to catch up on a bunch of paperwork stuff, so I've had some time to watch some other things while I did my work.
Good for you, Byron.
Hey, thanks. Kelly?
Yeah?
As I said earlier in the show, a protective layer of frozen tundra?
Permafrost.
We've got permafrost barriers.
Yeah.
What are they protecting us from?
I mean, it's debatable. They could be protecting us from something, or they could be protecting other civilizations from us.
In this week's edition of Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies.
Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies.
Well, this is one of those interesting topics that covers a lot of...
You seem very confident right now.
Well, I have to say that this is one I went in...
the water.
I went in a little bit like you guys. I'm a bit of a skeptic when it comes to Hollow Earth theory.
Really?
We found the level at which the insanity is too much.
Well, no,
don't get me wrong.
Hold tight.
There are a lot of different things that come up. You know, like in Celtic mythology, there is a place that's called Ireland's Gate to Hell. So there are some things that are pretty far beyond what I might consider. And then we talk a little bit more about, for example, there was an expedition in the 1940s by an admiral for the U.S. Navy, where we get into perhaps a more realistic account of what might actually be beneath the Earth's surface. I am not a scientist in the traditional sense.
Okay.
Therefore...
It's not the first time you've said that either.
I know. I like to be honest. I like to be authentic about who I am and who I am not. And the theory about the Earth being hollow, there are some fairly good counterpoints to it. For example...
Science.
Well, gravity.
Okay.
However, there are people who theorize that if you get to a certain point inside the Earth, the gravitational pull actually pulls you towards the surface of the Earth rather than the core, because the core is hollow.
Do you think it makes a fun noise when it does that? Like a...
Could be.
Yeah, it did.
Could
it
be. Anyhow. I think that it's important to preface this whole story by saying there's some really interesting anecdotes. And at the end, I am going to read an interview with a reptilian female who claims that she's been living underneath the Earth for a long time.
There's a lot you just unloaded in that last sentence.
I did.
You're going to tell us what reptilians are, too.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, not everyone... is like you and I.
True.
All right.
We do have some new listeners probably that are not fully inculcated to Kelly's
madness. It's true.
So take us to the beginning.
In the beginning, there was a hollow earth. No. But really, Tibetan Buddhists believe that there's a portion of Tibetan Buddhism that believes in a subterranean realm, an ancient city called Shambhala, which is interestingly also the title of a Buddhist publication, Shambhala Sun. And a big retreat center in Colorado. So Shambhala is a big word for them. Ancient Greeks believed that there were caverns that led to the underworld. And like I mentioned, the Celtic mythology. There's also a tribe in India that claimed that they actually descended from people who emerged from ancient times underneath the earth.
Like in that movie, The Descent.
Yeah, like they came from those creatures.
Sure.
Yeah.
Great.
Or the time machine.
What?
Yeah.
The Morlocks.
Sure. What is it? The Morlocks and the Eloi?
Yeah,
yeah, it's the Eloi.
Is he doing literary?
Eloi, yeah. He is.
Literary references.
He's doing literary references. Oh, okay. I actually got that one, though.
Jules Verne.
That one made me feel less stupid because I actually got that one. Right. So it was good. There are Brazilian Indian tribes who believe that they also descended from their forefathers who came out from underground and along the rivers in Brazil. Even the Incas, who believed east of Cusco, for those of you who have seen The Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, I have not.
Yeah. From east of Cusco, there are some underground caves that people supposedly emerged from there. So it's one of those interesting things that comes up in many different cultures across the world. I think that the first time it started emerging into what I would call Western science, there was a scientist, Edmund Halley, and it might actually be Halley, and it could be Halley of Halley's Comet. I'm not really sure.
Halley's Comet?
Is it Halley's Comet? Halley's Comet. Halley?
The verdict is out on that.
Okay.
Heaven's Gate?
1692.
Is that that comet?
Same comet.
Oh, God, that comet's the best. That has a spaceship behind it.
Right.
The away team.
Right.
Yeah.
You bet. 1692. And he talks about...
Nikes.
He gave...
Remember those Nike shoes they all wore when they killed themselves?
He gave the theory that the Earth is a hollow shell. It's about 500 miles thick and then has two inner concentric shells and a core. And the core is about the diameter of Mercury, was his theory.
Okay.
There's another hollow Earth idea that was proposed a little while later, that there is actually a sun at the center of the Earth. So it's like there's a universe inside the Earth.
Well, I mean, we used to think that we were the center of the galaxy.
Right. And I think the thing to keep in mind is in the scope of time, it really wasn't very long ago that we believed the Earth was flat. And people who thought it was spherical were utterly insane. So you never know. Maybe there's something to all of this.
Someday, people who believe that the only sun in our solar system is the sun are going to be mocked and laughed at like we do the flat Earth people.
I don't think
there's,
so.
No, there's no. 0%
I think
chance.
We're smarter than we used to be.
Yeah.
But. Yeah,
well, in 1818, there was another scientist, Symes, who believed that, again, that there's this hollow shell and that there were actually openings at both poles. And you could get into the inner Earth at those poles.
So I've heard those. This isn't me, but I've heard those referred to as... The Earth's mouth and its asshole.
I've heard that too. That's a really easy thing to say because it's difficult to get to those places.
Oh, we're gonna talk about that. Oh, don't you good. Worry, because okay. there are two groups who are rumored to have gotten there and
Ooh.
Some pretty interesting results.
Okay,
but before I leave this, you should know that there were actually some explorers. I mean, you know, 1800s was pretty. Explorer heavy.
A lot of claims.
A lot of the people, especially in America, everybody was all about manifest destiny.
Swashbuckling buggery on the high seas.
Let's go take over everything we can. Go yeah, America.
Like I said, claims.
Yeah.
Both kinds.
John Quincy Adams said that he would approve of an expedition to the North Pole to check this theory out. But when Andrew Jackson came in, he said, yeah, forget about it.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
Jackson, one of the many, many reasons Andy Jackson.
Basically, Jackson
president.
Just wanted to wage war. And I think he was worried there wasn't going to be anybody there to war against. And he just wanted to keep waging war.
Or that we'd get there and there wouldn't be bourbon.
That could also be a problem. I'm actually related to that one.
To bourbon?
No, Jackson. Andrew.
That
okay.
seems like a
okay.
wild and unsubstantiated
yeah. No, it's
claim.
True. It's true. Really. I wouldn't claim it because mm-hmm. he's like.
The best.
He was a jackass. He was an asshole. There's another theory that I'm not going to discuss because I don't know enough about it and I think it's completely insane. And
okay.
that is that there's a concave Earth and that we actually right now are standing on the inside of the Earth and that...
I've heard this theory.
Yeah,
it's
I don't like
this. It's
kind
of difficult to wrap your mind
I don't
around.
Like this one. The spatial reasoning with it really starts messing with my head. And so like when we look up to the stars, we're actually looking into the center of the hollow Earth.
Yeah.
I don't like it. There are two specific groups I would like to talk about. In terms of very incredible legends tied to what may or may not exist beneath the surface of our Earth. So the first one is Admiral Richard E. Byrd. Sam, are you familiar with Mr. Byrd?
Well, he was an admiral, I believe.
He was an admiral. He was pretty legit as an admiral. Okay. He decided he was going to fly over the North Pole. He was an admiral with the Navy, I might add. So not sure what he was doing in the air.
Yeah, he's
but he was.
Come on now.
I mean, the Navy has planes too, right, Sam?
They do.
Some of them even land on boats.
So Admiral Byrd goes to fly over the pole, but interestingly enough, he takes a flight that goes multiple hours longer than it should have been. And according to the odometers, he travels about 2,300 miles beyond how far he should have traveled, given the distance he was. So we're not talking like tiny numbers here.
Okay.
Okay, and this was a very well-respected guy. He supposedly flew into an area that was green and lush, and he saw a woolly mammoth.
Oh, all right. Is this Florida again? Are we doing
everybody,
Bermuda Triangles?
Like everybody was smoking opium and drinking laudanum.
No, that's not true.
In this time period.
That's not true. He's calling this land the Great Unknown.
Mm-hmm.
But then as he describes it, you know, after he returns, obviously, and he's seen this, he's describing a land that couldn't possibly exist at the poles because it is literally green and lush. The theory is that he actually flew inside one of these entrances and ended up inside the Earth.
I feel like you have to do that with intention. You can't just fly into the center of the Earth.
So after he crossed the North Pole, he just kept going. He kept going for like 2,000 more miles.
You can't. You have to go down.
Right, but he went in. That's the whole point.
But in is not straight. In is down.
Well, but if you look at some of the pictures...
I tend to agree with Byron.
If you look at some of the pictures, there are some very interesting arguments made based on photographs that there is actually something hollow and an entrance at the poles. And if you look at some satellite photos by NASA, supposedly that haven't been doctored, you can see that there are these dark spots that seem to indicate a lack of mass below the surface.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Also, you said green?
Yeah, green.
You need the sun's light to grow plants?
Well, here's the theory about the sun at the center of the Earth.
Okay,
right?
I see it now.
Right? Yeah.
It's bright right in front of me.
We'll talk about this later, but it's referred to in some legends as the smoky god.
Because
it's supposed to be a very smoky sun.
Like in Lost.
Could be.
The smoke monster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bird also says that the land he came across was as big as North America. He flew for 1,700 miles over it and was forced to return because of gasoline supply shortage, but he had not yet reached the end of it. If he had been traveling in any direction, so like if he had gone across the pole and traveled either directly on course or veered course in any direction, he should have hit civilization again. And he didn't. He was flying over this massive green, lush, size of North America land.
Not Iceland.
No. No.
Which is actually green. Well, Greenland, I know, is icy.
It's crazy.
That's how I remember him.
Oh, I didn't know that. So yeah, he's screaming about there being forests.
He's screaming? I don't trust him already. He needs
and
to calm down.
The northernmost Street limit of the preacher. Timber line is located well down into Alaska, but north of that line, no tree is supposed to grow. Obviously, he was far north of that line, and he's seeing trees everywhere.
Was he nearing retirement? Did this guy retire for some reason?
No. He was, what was he, 55 at this point?
Okay. Yeah. Also, lack of oxygen causes hallucinations while you're flying?
He wasn't lacking oxygen.
I don't know.
Byron is almost, in fact, an EMT, so I'm going to go with him on this.
Pretty close. Almost there.
Point being, I think that there's a lot to be said for this person as a fairly legitimate witness. At a later point, he actually took another expedition to the South Pole instead and was trying to, I guess, test out this theory that really there are entrances to some underground place at the poles. Unfortunately, he died in 1957.
Thank God.
No, it's too bad. He did a lot.
He did a lot, but he wasted a lot of time.
Just flying around non-existent places.
So far, I do have to say not convinced about the hollow Earth right now.
Okay, well, wait until you hear this.
All right.
There's a theory that at the end of World War II, Hitler and some of his best scientists escaped and made it into an entrance to the underground world at the South Pole.
Via Argentina.
No, they went all the way south. They may have gone through Argentina.
Sure.
But they went all the way south, got to the South Pole, jumped in underneath. And that's where you start hearing lots of interesting things about Nazi-designed UFOs that they've been working on underneath the surface of the Earth for a long time. They supposedly teamed up with some of the civilizations that were already living underneath. And this is one of the possible explanations for some people describing UFO pilots as looking rather Aryan in nature.
I've heard that, like Benny and Barney Hill.
Yeah.
They said that they actually looked like Nazis.
Well,
like they had like legitimate Nazi...
Oh, did they say that over their swastikas? Is that interesting?
You know, actually, I'm not sure. I thought so, but I think they definitely all had Hitler mustaches.
Okay, well, that's not true.
I'm pretty sure.
You're making that up.
All right.
Apparently, Hitler had heard that this was where the Atlanteans escaped when Atlantis sunk.
Mm-hmm.
He somehow had come across ancient records that had given him directions on how to get here. He went with these people. Now, there is some...
You're teasing more of the occult beliefs of the Nazis
here. Well, but here's the other thing.
I love this stuff.
I can't wait for that
episode.
Here's
the other thing that's kind of interesting, though. There is pretty clear evidence that there were about 2,000 scientists from Germany and Italy that completely vanished at the end of the war. like, not that they were killed. Maybe they were.
You know, we took a lot of those, right?
Well, No. We're accounting for those. There were still about 2,000 that were just gone. Yeah, no, we took lots of them. And yeah. They did horrible tests and we paid for it and we get lots of terrible, terrible things. But these are 2,000 people that just completely disappeared. And then according to reports, there were anywhere from 100,000 to 1,000,000 people, not just scientists, but people that vanished at that same time too. So there are theories that there was this huge mass migration to underneath.
Well, yeah.
After, I went to Brazil.
It was Argentina, I think.
I don't care.
Well, they escaped in submarines, but I was also thinking how...
I do care.
Oh, I care a lot. How cool would it be if there was a version of The Leftovers where it was just 2,000 Nazi scientists that disappeared in The Departing?
That'd and the great. Rest of the Nazis are like, what happened? What happened to all the scientists?
It'd be a completely different
That's
show.
That's fantastic.
I'm going to pitch it.
That would be great.
I'm going to pitch that show.
Do we still have to do all the Nazi things?
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the people that live underneath.
Italian.
He did seem a bit Italian.
So let's talk a little bit about the people that live underneath the earth. There are a few different species that are supposed to exist down there. One of the theories actually is that these people are responsible for every single UFO that we see, and that the UFOs are driven by these people underneath the earth's surface. Supposedly, there are some giants that are roughly 12 feet tall. They can live to be anywhere from 400 to 800 years old.
That's taller than the Nordics, right?
I think it's actually pretty close to the Nordics. And the way older. That they were described, yeah, a little bit older, but the way that they were described really did sound kind of similar to Nordic descriptions.
Because Nordics, they're pretty much Nazis, right? They're Aryan.
Well.
Very fit, very pale.
Yeah, but they aren't necessarily evil.
Well, yeah, it's a physical representation as opposed to the beliefs of the Nazis. The Nordics.
Right.
Yeah.
There have been a couple of different individuals who have claimed to spend like a year, 2 years with them.
Are these the opium den people?
No, they're not the opium den people. No.
They sound suspiciously
No, stop it. Okay. No. There was a fisherman in the 1800s. He and his son were actually trapped there, supposedly spent a full 2 years there. Then when they left, the father died, the son survived. And when the son showed people maps of where he had been, he got thrown in an insane asylum for 24 years. So when he got out, continued to be a fisherman, never spoke to anybody about it again. And then towards the end of his life, when he was in his 90s, told an author all of his stories. And then those stories were published about this incredible place that he had been. And these people that said that, you know, they were going to help mankind when we were in our darkest hour and blah, 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 blah.
This is why you don't draw maps with crayons. One will take you serious.
I don't believe he drew them with crayons.
All right.
I don't think that that's true. In India, we hear reports of a subterranean group of people that are like snakes, and they wage war on the massive city that is probably the most well-known city in Hollow Earth, and that's Agartha. And apparently these snakes, which are known as Nagas, which is stupid because
like
Nagas just
NYC
means snakes.
Of-
yeah, or like the utopia of it. It's supposed to be a really cool place. But Nagas, which are just, that's a word for snakes, so that's what these people are known as, so that's a pretty uncreative title for them, but they really, really hate humans, and apparently they capture and kidnap and torture and eat us. So, you know, all these people that go missing in national parks, maybe they're just being drugged down underneath by these Nagas who are just trying to kick our asses.
Wait, you just brought up the fact that people go missing in national parks. Is that
That's a huge thing, and we're going to talk about it at some point, because it's actually that, contrary to the Hollow Earth theory, actually has a whole lot of veracity.
Sure.
There's a lot that we could talk about there. But,
all right. Well, I'll write it down.
Yeah, no, that's actually one of my favorite topics to discuss.
So when are we getting to Chuds?
Ugh, see, luckily we haven't heard anything about Chuds.
I love Byron.
Cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers.
Yeah, so we're not going to talk about them, but Atlanteans and Lemurians supposedly both exist underneath the earth. We have these Nagas. We've also heard of the really tall giant people, the 12 foot tall, very old. And then we have the reptilians. So there are lots and lots and lots of wonderful theories about reptilians existing, for example, underneath Mount Shasta. Sam and I have heard quite a bit about that.
Or in the White House.
In the White House. That's
President
also.
Barack Obama.
That's also a theory. That's a theory. But these reptilians, basically, because we have a fairly natural fear of reptiles as a human race, are immediately assumed to be evil, but not all of them are. There are actually quite a few reptilians that are supposed to be pretty damn nice.
I have an ex-girlfriend that has three iguanas.
Okay, I don't like actual reptiles.
They're gross. They're disease-ridden. They're much like filthier than cats.
It's awful.
Okay.
And cats are disgusting.
So a lot of these reptilians are apparently now hybrids. They've been crossbred with regular old earthlings.
It's their master plan.
Yeah. Well, so they have these weirdly weird mix of features that have like some mammal body features. They've got reptilian features.
And when you say reptilian features.
Scaly. With like reptile looking eyes.
Yeah, their eyes sometimes blink sideways.
Just like in Men in Black. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I wasn't gonna
the
say
story
that.
Is that they were the original inhabitants of Earth, and they're even mentioned supposedly in the Bible and other religious documents. The Egyptians and the Incas both spoke of these people. And here is an interview, a brief excerpt from an interview with a female hybrid reptilian.
I'm a female reptile being belonging to a very old reptilian race. We are mentioned in your religious writings. For example, the Egyptians and the Inca and many other old tribes. Your Christian religion has misunderstood our role in your creation. So we are mentioned as evil serpent in your writings. This is wrong. Your race was genetically engineered by aliens, and we are just the more or less passive visitors of this accelerated evolution process. You must know that your species has evolved in a naturally completely impossible speed within just 2 to 3 million years. This is absolutely impossible because evolution is a much slower process if it's natural, but you have not understood this. We are native to Earth. We have some colonies in the solar system, but we originate on this planet.
Racist.
Our language is very different from yours, but my name is, I will try to say it smoother by use of your human letters, something like Shakashkash.
Hate it.
That's her name.
That's her name.
I literally just read that.
Oh.
With a very strong pronunciation of the sh and k sounds, we have no forenames like you, but only a single unique name, which is divided and characterized by the way of speaking, and which is given not to children, which have an own children name, but only in a special procedure in the adolescent age, at the time of either religious or scientific enlightenment or awareness, as you would call it.
Inappropriate accent, Kelly.
I don't know.
Didn't need to do that.
It was really fun, though.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so she says that she's 57,653 cycles old.
Also, extremely mentally ill.
Which is around 28 years old.
Okay, so there's actual math in this.
Yeah, our time measurement depends on periodically returning cycles in the Earth magnetic field.
Do you understand what she just said?
She is
57,653
cycles old. So she reached her adult phase 16,000 cycles ago. She's about 28 years old.
Also mentally ill.
Well, she gets really upset later in the interview. She says there are a lot of crazy people who claim to know what UFOs are and what aliens are, but very few of them actually know. Some of the UFOs belong to them, but most do not. Some are real, belonging to our own species, our military, or to other alien species. And others to them, the reptilians. They're generally pretty careful with their movements in the atmosphere. And their ships, she says, are the bright gray cigar-shaped ones.
Okay, I've heard of
those. So the cylindrical ones. Anytime you see one of those, it's coming from... What's this lady's name again?
Don't care.
No.
It's coming from... It's coming from her hometown.
Sometimes I wonder if I died on that drive home from Seattle. And this is... This is my life now.
This is the waiting room to hell.
Reptilians live in the center of the earth and they're crossbreeding with us so they can take back the surface. Is that the bottom line there?
Yeah, she has boobs though.
Oh, hot.
She talks about it. She says she has a head, two arms, two hands, two legs, two feet, and two breasts.
And then she whipped them out.
And despite our reptile origin, we've started to give milk to our babies during the evolution process.
Do reptiles not give milk to their babies?
No.
How do they feed their babies? They puke it?
Nope. Babies are born live and have to fend for themselves immediately.
Oh, wow. No wonder gators are so cranky.
I mean, live, they hatch out of eggs. Yeah. Live.
Yeah, that's the story from the reptiles.
I feel like there's a difference between reptiles and reptilians, right?
Yeah, sorry. You're absolutely right. That's okay. The story from the reptilians that live underneath. Apparently, dolphins and whales actually are in contact with many of the civilizations that live inside the earth. There are entrances all over the place, according to certain people. The poles are the commonly accepted entrances, but there are also supposed to be entrances in Brazil, in India, in Nepal. There's actually supposed to be one in Colorado.
So why always in the southern hemisphere? What's the deal with that?
You know, that's an interesting question. I mean, there's one at the North Pole.
Yeah.
And I know some of the ones like in the Himalayas are in the northern hemisphere.
But that makes sense.
It does appear that there are more. Well, and like I said, in Colorado, in the Rocky Mountains, there's one.
That is one. But
Mount Shasta, which we've talked about.
What's the deal with dolphins in Colorado?
Well, the dolphins... I imagine that underneath the ocean, there are probably access points all over the place, right?
Sure.
A couple interesting things about the inner Earth. There's no night. There's no ice. The heat of the sun contributes to the warm Arctic winds on the surface that seem inexplicable to explorers and scientists. Hmm. That's the sun heating it up from the inside.
I'm sure it's not the fact that during specific times of the year, we're further away from the sun? That causes Arctic winds?
Yeah, you'd have to talk to the author of the website Inner Earth People.
Okay.
Looks like her name is
Joan. Is it .com or .net?
No, it's joanocean.com, but it's the Inner Earth People website.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Telepathically, instead of just telepathically, it's telempathically.
Ooh.
Because it's like an emotional
heart.
Yeah. Yeah, this sounds very familiar to things that I hear in other parts of my life. So,
therapy.
No, not okay. Therapy. Apparently, Tibetan monks are the people on Earth most familiar with these openings into Earth. So I am going to be inquiring with some Tibetans that I know.
Okay.
I've got two that I'm buddies with. And
some contacts.
I'm going to be checking with them to see what they know about these underworld creatures and species. And I'm particularly concerned about these snakes. These
Nagas
that apparently like drag us down because they hate us. Bit scary. But in theory, most of the homes underneath are dome-shaped. Personalities of these people, very spiritual. They're compassionate and gentle and wise. It's a lot of the really wise people from Earth that have eventually gone underground to occupy this area. So supposedly there's some pretty good breeding from some pretty good sources, and they got some good peeps down there. But next time we're in that neck of the woods, I think we should go explore Mount Shasta, you guys.
Is this where Mel's hole ends up?
I mean, maybe it is. Who knows? It could be.
I don't think
maybe.
So. I agree with Byron.
One last thing. Most recently, there was a person on Coast to Coast, as we love so much. Author and researcher David Wilcock told about an alliance of ancient civilizations that currently is residing on the inside of the earth. They used to have alliances with some of our military organizations because apparently like when our military would drill underground facilities, every once in a while they'd like be boring through something and like bore through a wall and be like, oh, somebody's already there. We can't do that. We better strike a treaty with them. Sorry about that.
Got to get permission.
Yeah. So they buddied up with some of them. But now we've started to break some of those treaties and our relationship with them is becoming worse and worse. And so they have reached out to some other interstellar entities to say, hey, can you help us kick these assholes out? Because they're really cramping our style and they're drilling where they said they wouldn't drill and they're causing some problems. They recently had a conference, the under earth people and the interstellar entities did a conference, and these inner earth people came out of the conference pretty shocked because they've been asked to reveal themselves because these interstellar entities are saying, you know what, we're really on board with this whole disclosure thing and we're happy to help you defend yourself against the earthlings, but you're going to need to reveal yourselves to them as part of this disclosure movement, and then we'll do whatever you need us to do. supposedly we're going to be hearing about these people soon, according to Mr. David Wilcock. Yeah.
I don't buy it.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I do.
Okay.
Yeah. It is interesting, though.
And what's the military base where it's like the
Dulce?
Entrance? Yeah, the Dulce base. Does that have anything to do with Hollow Earth Theory? Because I know that that's where the Greys and the Reptilians hang out.
Well, all of them. It's like seven layers or something like
yeah.
that. Yeah. Yeah.
Seven-layer dip of civilization.
Isn't the Reptilians have to use different bathrooms where they have long troughs because they're terrible, terrible aims?
Something like that. And I know that
is that
like,
reality, what you just said?
I know that they
is
like
anything in this segment reality.
They get weighed, some of them do, because they eat too much or too little, and so they get weighed when they're moving from level to level to make sure they aren't eating what they're not supposed
no,
to.
No, that's not it. They get weighed to make sure that they don't have any confidential material that they're transporting
I don't know
between
if that's
levels.
True.
What is going on?
Yeah, the Dulce facility is a pretty interesting story.
Byron,
we'll get in deep.
You died.
Oh God!
Yeah, you could have.
This is it.
You could have.
This is my
no,
life.
But really, it is interesting to think that if there's any truth to any of this, maybe there is some connection to the national park disappearances. Ooh. Like maybe there are some entrances in some of those places, and the people disappear.
I'd rather you not talk about that when we do the national parks one.
No.
No. Let's talk about brutal murders.
No, because that's the problem. The bodies aren't found. That's what makes it terrifying.
They're eaten.
We
well,
can hypothesize
no, not really.
About
because
the
because the clothes are found like neatly folded up.
Suicide forest.
No.
All right.
Sorry.
Is there anything else you have to say about the
I mean,
Earth?
I could go on forever, but I think that's all I'm going to talk about. If you want to see something very interesting, especially tied to this Tibetan situation that a lot of the Tibetan Buddhists have a connection to this subterranean realm, there was a big underground Tibetan, I don't want to say temple, but like a, I don't know, some.
A temple.
A cavern. Stupa? Well, I think there were stupas. There were some statues and some stupas found, but they were like 500 years older than the earliest record of Buddhism that we had ever had, like when we thought it actually started. And these didn't appear to be something that would come at the front end of a religious practice. So like, they're thinking it is even older than that, but they were found in a really strange underground place. I think it was in Nepal. Maybe that's leading towards some of this underground connection. So
could very well be.
Check it out.
What's going to be on Frightday.com as companion material for this?
So we've got an interview with Admiral Byrd where he doesn't actually come out and say that he saw this interesting place, but he starts hinting at it because obviously he caught a lot of flack for it. He was a pretty high up military officer. And I've also got a couple really interesting videos that I think Byron's going to have fun playing.
So. Yeah, and this will all be available on Frightday.com.
It sure will.
In the companion material for
it
this
sure
episode.
Will. Everybody, keep me notified if you see any of these entrances. We'll come and do an on-site investigation.
And also, if I am I'm dead, I'd like to just make sure that if anyone hears this ever in a dream or some sort of weird thing,
yeah,
that comes through that I just wanted my parents to know I love them very much.
He and really does, you guys.
I'm really scared right now.
Please don't be scared, Byron.
Because this is my life now, and this has been Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies for this week.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks so much, Kelly, as always.
Yeah, I hope that was entertaining.
It was. it was.
Okay, good.
Well, maybe our listeners would like to understand what it feels like to not be entirely certain whether you're alive or dead or stuck in some strange netherworld in between the two. So maybe we could review Hellions.
A relevant movie from a director from Canada.
Very.
Let's review Hellions.
You're enjoying your visit here this evening. Now, on with the show.
Hellions is a 2015 Canadian horror thriller film directed by Bruce MacDonald. Sam, do you want to tell us what this movie is about?
A teenager must survive a Halloween night from hell when malevolent trick-or-treaters come knocking at her door.
It's good that we did a Halloween movie right now.
It is. Great. You know, in the spirit of the season.
Oh, where do we begin? Let's begin with the fact that Bruce MacDonald has a great past. He directed a movie that I loved.
I think we all loved.
Yeah, it's called Pontypool. It's the perfect winter film. I recommend it highly to everyone, always. I don't know if it's streaming on Netflix right now. I also know it's kind of hard to find on DVD, but if you can find it, watch it.
Pontypool is one of the best horror films of the decade, I think.
Ooh, I should write a list about my favorite winter horror films because this might just top it. And it also set my expectations for Bruce McDonald's films. The fact that Pontypool was so successful with such a minimal cast, it was shot in one location, which caused this increasing isolation and fear. Loved it. This film almost does the opposite. It opens up in a very wide shot of a pumpkin patch field, which is incredible. Good setup. I love the way it looks.
It's a cool shot, and it really plays to the Halloween lover in all of us. Like, oh.
And I think it was in this town as well. They mentioned that in an opening shot with, who's the Terminator guy?
Robert Patrick.
Robert Patrick
and
was in this?
Agent Doggett.
Yeah, let's not forget Agent Doggett. Is he coming back in the new season? Did he die in the X-Files? Have I seen the X-Files?
In this life or another life?
I don't know what's going on. But they mentioned that the city wouldn't exist if Halloween didn't exist.
So Halloween's a big deal, but yeah,
they never really go into where this film is set.
No.
But it's almost implied that it's significant.
Which is not the only leap that we're asked to make in this movie.
Sam, what are your baseline thoughts on this film?
I'm with you. I thought the opening scene was promising. I think that this movie was maybe a little too ambitious for what it managed to achieve. It was trying to be, I think, a little more cerebral than the material warranted, and it just came out generally feeling like there was something left out, or maybe there was too much left in.
I think I
think it was too much left in.
It's extremely long-winded, and I'm fully capable of enjoying a slow-burn horror film, but it has to give me something along the way.
It has to be more than just slow.
And, I mean, this definitely has some stuff that I love, like burlap sack masks.
Some very cool and frightening visuals.
Yeah, let's start with the pre-Oz moment, which yes. I know Kelly's not going to agree with me on this Wizard of Oz theory I have.
No, I actually kind of do.
So,
believe it or not.
What's our main character's name?
Dora.
Dora. So Dora is pregnant.
Played by Chloe Rose.
Canadian. Very Canadian film, by the way. I feel like we laughed. We had a laugh. We all had a chuckle when I mentioned that Bruce McDonald made a Canadian film.
Because of course he did.
He did. This is extremely Canadian. And if you watch anything Canadian, I think you'd probably agree with me. She's pregnant. She's staying home on Halloween because she can't really find a good way to tell her boyfriend and her parents that she's pregnant. And
which is no reason to ruin Halloween
I know,
for everybody.
Come on up. Do it the next day. We'll figure it out. There's a point where some trick-or-treaters come to the door. Very scary trick-or-treaters. I'm going to call it creature design because later on that's what it becomes. Amazing. The burlap sack, creepy, scarecrow type person. Also, a guy with a bucket on his head, suspiciously. Yeah,
with a terrifying face cut into the metal of the bucket.
And there was some sort of grifter psychic that what's her name? Dora? Dorothy? I'm thinking, I'm going to say it. There's a lot of Oz in this.
I'm not going to disagree with you.
Trick-or-treaters come and they start causing a bit of a ruckus. And there's a point where...
A ruckus?
It was a bit of a ruckus. They're egging
the house. A dust-up?
A bit of a Donnybrook.
Sure. All of a sudden... Excuse me. Bumped that.
Hold on. What did you say?
A Donnybrook?
No. After that.
A dust up?
You said something about sudden.
All of a sudden.
Nope.
All of the sudden.
Yeah, all. Nope.
All sudden of.
All what? Of a. That is a.
When suddenly.
You don't need to pick on me right now.
All of a.
All of.
Byron,
is sudden.
Do a back rub.
Thank you. Oh my God. Thank you, Byron. You did it right.
It's not an earthquake. What
no,
happens?
It's
a,
weird.
A
it's,
bright light.
Which maybe, I don't know, UFOs, we think, possibly?
I don't know. I'm not sure what happened, but it is very similar to the tornado picking up the house. This is just, in my head, this is what I saw. There's no sign of the house spinning or anything like that. But the house is kind of engulfed
shift.
With light and vibration and things change. The color of the film changes. Everything turns into this kind of like dreamy pink, purple coloring, everything, the whole film.
And it is hard to watch. For me, it was.
It's hard to get used to, for sure.
The color shift, again, to this rosy glow, and the pinks are very pink, and then the green highlights, was extremely heavy-handed. It was not subtle at all. It was done in the coarsest possible way.
I guess it does add a layer of isolation as well, because you're not really sure where you are. If you're in a world, if you're in a dream, if you're in hell, I don't know.
And we're then led to believe that it's a blood moon.
Yeah. And I mean, we experienced a blood moon this year.
Nothing turned pink.
It's not like a pink sunny day.
No,
it was just normal night.
It was like a big moon.
And it's at this point where the trick-or-treaters start coming and becoming a little bit more malicious. And the trick-or-treaters, there's a burlap sack guy who I'm calling the Scarecrow. He's got a different name in this cast list. He's not Corn Man, is he? No, Corman.
Baghead.
Baghead. Okay, I don't have the list in front of me. But and then there's a bucket guy who I'm
Buckethead.
So he's the Tin Man to me. And I mean, it could go on. I don't think that there's necessarily a lion, but this is kind of where my Wizard of Oz.
One of the credits is for Lionhead.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Well,
I think you might be right.
I cracked the code.
I think you did.
All right. Basically, for the rest of the movie, we've got Dora running from these killers.
And kind of a home invasion.
Mixed with some kind of supernatural dreams. Lots of dreams.
The visuals and I guess the feeling a little bit reminded me of wandering outside in the game Doom. When you're in hell,
yeah,
just everything's pink, and then there's nothing out there
except for a pumpkin minefield.
Oh God.
I mean, okay. There's a lot of things that we could pick on this movie for. One being maybe an explosive pumpkin patch that looks like someone got a hold of After Effects, some sort of.
And there was a button for a small explosion.
Small explosion button. I'm gonna ignore that.
Yeah.
Because
we have to.
It also didn't really add to the plot, which brings me to something I need to say.
Uh-oh.
I think that this would have made a great segment in a horror anthology, particularly a Halloween
That
anthology.
Is a really good point. I didn't think about it like that.
This is an 88-minute short.
Strip this down substantially and you could have a core of something.
It'd be extremely successful. There's a lot of really cool elements here. The one problem is that they stretched them all out and filled it full of weird gags and gimmicks. There's so many scenes where this pregnant girl has blood coming out of her vagina, which is scary. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it loses its effectiveness pretty quickly, though.
Especially when it fills up to the roof of an outhouse.
Yeah, and there are so many dream sequences. And
it's dreams and dreams.
Dreams within dreams, and it's not...
And not in an Inception kind of way.
No, more of a Russian doll of dreams.
Yes.
Yeah, I wrote that down for you.
Russian stacking dolls. Thanks,
Byron.
That
was Kelly's.
Yeah, it was all you.
It was a good one. It felt like it was... I think you said it seemed like a crutch.
It was a crutch. I said that about Tiger's House, but we'll
that was so long ago.
I know. It was like at the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah. It was something to make the viewer feel like there was more going on than actually was. Like, wow, I'm confused. This movie must be really smart and I'm really dumb, which is not the case because you, the viewer, are smart.
I don't usually have to look for the moral of the story. Usually I ignore it because I'm an immoral person.
Morals are the worst.
But I found myself wondering why this was happening and what the point was. And also, not a spoiler, I just didn't find the resolution. I don't think it's even possible to spoil this movie because I don't think it really ended.
No, I...
Yeah, it didn't end.
Okay. So I'm not wrong in that.
No.
Kelly, you've been pregnant.
I sure have.
Have you ever had a pickle with honey?
Byron, we were pregnant.
I'm not going to... Come on. Have you ever had a pickle with honey, Sam?
No. Oh, God, no.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I eat weird stuff all the time, which
you
I think we kind of allude to on the show. I didn't really eat that much weird... Like, I had cravings for a specific kind of salad dressing when I was pregnant, but that was kind of about it. So
just a weird scene, lots of unnecessary. And I mean, I know that can be character development stuff, But this character doesn't doesn't develop.
Yeah.
You look back at Grant Mazzie from Pontypool.
Oh, played by Stephen McCaddy.
A great character. He grows.
A great Canadian.
A great Canadian. God bless him. From the beginning, you know who this person is, and he also grows throughout. You know, he shows a bit of himself. I didn't see anything in this character.
Grant Mazzie is out of his element and coping the best he can, and you get to watch that journey, and he's so well realized as a character. And there's nothing, no single character in this movie are we...
Who's jewelry was that? Oh, God. Stop it with the...
Apologies.
Yeah, who could possibly be jingling a
well,
necklace?
The weird thing is you raised your hand and I was like, does he have three metal gauntlets on or something? But no. I guess a gauntlet's large. I apologize.
It's not greaves. Those are on your legs.
I have no idea. This would be a funny reference, but I really have a hard time trashing this movie because I went into it knowing that, I mean, this came out in January of this year. So, I mean, we couldn't be further from when this actually came out. I just felt like people had been talking about this movie. And since, oh my God, I keep bumping stuff.
Bumpity bump.
And we're nearing the end of the year. So I was like, we need to watch Hellions. I loved Pontypool. I haven't seen anything from him before. And I mean, apparently he has had other movies. So I can't say that this is his follow-up to Pontypool.
And I did say Pontypool, I thought it was one of the best films of the decade. I think it came out in 2008.
So 2008,
it was
yeah.
the best of the last decade.
Last decade. It's your favorite film. But I can't help but be a little disappointed with this. As I said earlier, if it was 40 minutes shorter, 50 minutes shorter, maybe even 60, I would be telling a different story. Instead, we had to make coffee.
We did, which is what you're getting right now. Byron and I each have chugged a pint of extremely strong iced coffee and are doing our best not to vomit it back up into the mics.
And it's a bummer because, like, we were so excited to talk about Krampus. I hadn't slept for 3 days and didn't have to sleep talking about Krampus.
Oh, we were amped up.
I find myself even struggling to find a lot of good things in this movie.
It's not fun to have to give a negative review, especially to a director that we respect.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
But here we are.
Yeah.
I think we should just get excited about the next one.
Yeah, let's do that.
He's
I mean, they had,
coming
talked,
out
about,
another
they
great
had
one.
Talked about sequels to Pontypool. I don't know how successful it would be once they leave the studio, because I think that was part of what made Pontypool so charming.
I think they could do it as a separate... another location.
Same situation, same time, different place.
Yeah. Or just like American Horror Story, you could have the same, because I can't imagine it without Stephen McCaddy.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
But, you know, playing different roles.
So hopefully that works out. I'm burping. Long burp.
As long as it's just gas and no liquid.
I'm going to make it. Hey, what do you say? No spoilers. Let's end this with our final thoughts and our rating.
I hadn't thought about it until you brought it up, but I really do agree that if this had been a short, this had been just one of the vignettes in an anthology, it could have done really, really well. They tried to be really abstract, which I can get into, and really experimental, but it didn't go far enough for it to be interesting. It was certainly too far for it to make sense, and it just didn't develop in any direction that kept me engaged. So... I'm going to give it a 4.8.
Holy
that's still really
cow.
High.
For me, that's rough.
No, but change your...
Especially with you selling this whole analogy to...
You do like my Oz analogy.
I do.
I agree.
And that makes it interesting to me. And I think that some of the visuals were really pretty. I think some of the ideas were cool. And I have to say that some of the scenes with those masks and the little kids, scary as shit. So I have to give them props for those pieces. And it's
props
not like
the props.
Yeah. And the acting was not great, but it wasn't like, oh my God, obscene. We weren't in muck territory here. So,
well, I thought we were closer than that.
Well, that's okay. Let's hear what you thought.
3.3 is what I give this movie. I mean, I've said a lot of things. I'm going to repeat them. Kelly, like I said, horror short would have been great. Yeah. Visually, it was cool, but I think it lost the charm that Pontypool had. When it abandoned the isolation factor, I think that that's probably what he does best. But I mean, you can't compare an entire director's career to one movie. You know, I think in his head, he is broadening his scope and in his directing capabilities. I just don't think that this movie was successful in doing that. So I have to give it a 3.3.
I think that this movie was a huge misstep. I hope that whatever Bruce McDonald was trying to do here, he got it out of his system. Because it's not worthy of the Pawnee Pool vein. I did not care at all about the characters, if you could call them that, in this movie. They just were not realized.
God, you guys are mean.
Not fleshed out, two-dimensional.
God.
The visuals were alternately muddy and with an unpleasant paint hue that was supposed to be part of the story but was just distracting. I honestly didn't find much to like about this movie. That being said, I really, really, really like Bruce McDonald as a director. And I
probably as a person too.
But I just can't in good conscience give this movie anything higher than a 3.0.
Oh, I thought he was going lower. Oh, God. But I'm okay with that.
You guys are so mean.
No, come on. And this has been our review of Hellions. Oh, gosh.
Oh.
It just wasn't a good movie.
Oh.
I hate that.
This made my soul hurt.
I hate giving bad reviews.
No, I loved it all.
God, you guys are so mean.
So if you've seen Hellions, why don't you let us know what your thoughts are? Tweet us at Fright Day on Twitter. And also leave a comment in the show notes of this episode. That's where we're going to be hanging out, and that's where you can meet your horror love of your life.
Oh, you bet.
It's a Fright Day dating website.
We
now.
Actually should start
we
one of those.
Just I mean, launched. Maybe. We only have about 2,000 members currently.
A lot of single men only. A
lot of single men and bots.
Most neck-bearded people are there right now.
You guys, stop it.
And us. That's where we're going to be hanging out. Quite the episode. We've learned so much about the Hollow Earth and how it's the center of the universe.
I can't believe we were concerned about content for this episode.
You know, 3 days off. Let's just put out episodes every 3 days, right?
You know what? I could do one better. I bet we could do it every 72 hours.
Okay. So, Kelly, it's been a long episode, so I think I'm going to not talk to a ghost this week.
Oh, thank God.
If that's okay with you.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get too excited.
Sure, shit
is. It'll be back next week for sure. But I just want to take a second to say thank you so much for the people who've been listening and writing to us this week. We've had quite a good response on the social meds.
Yay. Thanks, guys.
This was your pick on Twitter, by the
it
way,
was.
Audience.
So, blaming you, Pope.
I mean, we don't need to blame anyone for this.
Well, it wasn't good,
this
guys.
Is why, and I've said it before, democracy does not work.
I don't know if that's correct.
The
but
people need a strong hand
okay.
telling them what to
start
do,
calling you
what
Trump.
To think,
we
and
got
what
a
to watch.
Regular old Trump over here. But you know what's something that Donald Trump would never do?
What?
Give away free pins.
Correct.
I mean,
especially pins of the quality that we are giving away at Fright Day.
So if you want to rate and review our show on iTunes, which is the number one best thing you can do for us, we'll send you some free stuff, including maybe some sort of mad scrawlings from Kelly.
Oh, yeah. I'm making some really kick-ass jewelry these days. We should give away...
You've been making jewelry?
Yeah, out of awesome agates from
All
the
right.
haunted Oregon coast. They're actually... They're pretty good, Byron.
Well, they might be up for sale on shop.frightday.com, but for now, we've just got...
They're haunted agates.
All right. Just some normal old t-shirts that are pretty cool.
That
also,
is great.
Not haunted.
The next six orders at shop.frightday.com are going to get some classic monster pins from...
Holy shit, really?
From our friend... Friend Prices. And for people
wow.
who don't know, Friend Prices is Don Picton, who we've worked with before. We gave away those serial killer prints
yeah.
a couple months ago. He's a self-proclaimed dirtbag from Aurora, Illinois, which is the home of Wayne and Garth, of course. That specializes in bad art for bad people, just like you guys. So you can check that out.
I love it.
He's got a shop on Etsy and Store Envy. So just Google Friend Prices. Check it out. Sam, he just recently started selling something he calls cuties, which they're these classic monster heads on these toy female figures. Pretty unreal cool. Perfect for anyone stalking.
S-T-A-L-K-I-N-G.
Ooh, that's fun. Speaking of cool things on the internet that people can receive, really long-winded.
What is I like it.
We're giving away a future ghost enamel pin from Creepy Co. this week.
Whoa.
Yeah, love these guys.
Holy cow, we got cool friends.
Yeah, so Creepico is owned and operated by a wife and wife duo living in Chicago, Illinois. We love these Chicago folks, and they like the dark stuff.
Have you been on their Instagram account?
Creepico, of course. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Really cool stuff.
Pretty amazing.
Always doing great things. I actually just bought this. I left my jacket over there. It's a basket with lotion in it pin.
Because it puts the lotion
on its skin, or else it gets the hose. Of course. You know, great stuff. Creepycompany.com. Perfect. I'm sure if you order now, stuff could arrive before Christmas. Check it out. And enter the contest at frightday.com. I think we've talked a lot.
Yeah.
We have.
Learned a lot.
I think we can agree on that.
Yeah.
What are we going to be watching next? Coming up quick on the end of the year.
We are.
There's a lot of stuff we
need
to get
in. Next episode's going to be our Christmas episode, isn't it?
It just might, but it's also definitely going to be a special week.
Yeah.
Because next week, you're going to hear an interview with a writer, journalist, publisher, actor, television and radio host, spoken word artist, comedian, and singer of a little band called Black Flag.
Black
flag. And I mean, you may know him from the Rollins band too, because we're going to be talking to Henry Rollins next week.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
What?
Let that sink in for just a minute.
Insane.
Henry fucking Rollins on Fright Day.
Almost doesn't matter what we're watching, but we will be watching something. I can guarantee that.
Okay. Okay.
Kelly, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at Kelly Fright Day on Twitter.
Okay.
Or you can email me. And I haven't heard from as many people for a while.
So no one.
Please email me. I miss everyone.
Sure. Okay.
It's Kelly at FrightDay.com.
And you're still collecting stories for the New Year's edition of True Tales of Terror.
That is correct.
Great. So Kelly at FrightDay.com. Sam, where can we find you on the internet?
Tweeting at Sam FrightDay and email me Sam at FrightDay.com.
And I'm at Byron McCoy. Byron at FrightDay.com is my email address. And until next Fright Day, I'm Byron.
I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sam.
Stay hollow.